Good morning, everyone. I don't know what the weather's like where you are, but here in North Carolina, it's been pretty cool for the last couple mornings. It's been comfortable the last couple of days. If you know me at all, then you know I prefer hot weather, summertime. I always say the hotter the better. I want to live in Arizona one day when it's 120 degrees. I love it. I self-diagnosed myself with seasonal affective disorder years ago, probably when I was in nursing school. But when it begins to get cool outside, I spend a week or two really bummed out. I'll cry for no reason. My emotions are all over the place. My energy is insanely low. It's just a kind of sad time for no other reason than just the change in weather. It sounds a little bizarre, right? But this year, the last couple of days, however, I haven't felt that sadness. I don't know if maybe I have, say, like a gallon of sadness in my soul at one time, and I've just been spreading that out through the coronavirus and the conspiracy theories and looking around and seeing how people are treating each other and being exposed to all the unjust deaths that are going on. And so maybe that's why the season's not really affecting me that much, but I would rather the rest of the world be good and get back to when the season was maybe the worst thing going on in my life. Lately, I've been really thinking and praying and reflecting on, I guess a lot of these situations and the circumstances of the United States has brought it out and caused me to, but it seems like there are a lot of choices to make right now. Obviously, it's an election year. You're either going to be one candidate or the other when it comes to the presidential election. There's no middle ground. I mean, you can vote third party, but there's still someone that you have to choose, or you should. And not just that, we have the whole Black Lives Matter movement, and boy, if that's ever polarized. People are getting very angry at stores that are being destroyed, but not quite as angry as the lives that are being lost unfairly. I still can't comprehend how we are more outraged at damage of goods than damage of human lives. But that's where we are. So it's kind of like people want to be on a side of that as well. I mean, people are on sides when it comes to things like abortions, pro-life, pro-choice. People are on the side of many things right now. And for other people to have differing of opinions, it really villainizes the person who stands on the opposite side of the river. And I've been thinking a lot because I always try to be very thoughtful of other people's opinions. I also am very aware of how people perceive me. It's always been something that has been an issue with me, and a lot of times it's a good thing because you don't want to disrespect someone else by not necessarily agreeing with them or doing something that's going to fill them with some type of negative emotion. I'm very aware of what type of emotions I bring out in people. It's very important to me for it to be those of positivity when it can be. I remember when I first got a few of my tattoos that I didn't want a tattoo to be seen because decades ago, and probably still today, a lot of people see those and they have they have negative assumptions. They have negative correlations between a person who has a tattoo, and they link it to some other negative idea. And so I didn't want anyone to feel that negativity, to look at me and have something not good come from it. And then the first tattoo that I got that could be seen was after I went on a mission trip to Haiti, and I wanted a symbol of peace that would extend the boundaries of countries and states and territories, because I wanted to do a lot more medical missions than what I have done thus far. But I wanted there to be that symbol, even if there was a language barrier, that people knew they were safe with me, that they were filled with peace whenever they saw me. Because obviously the white man, the white woman, in a lot of these countries are very intimidating. A lot of the countries, they think that we are evil. But those are also the people that I want to go and help and be there for and take care of, and not necessarily change their mind. But through my life, I've kept a lot of thoughts of mine that could be perceived as controversial hidden. Again, just because I didn't want anyone to have any negative emotion. I didn't want anyone to see me in any light other than pleasant, and to be around me to not ever feel uncomfortable. But lately, I've not felt okay with just being a bystander anymore. The last couple of years, which really stemmed from the creation of this podcast, or it was the catalyst to produce this podcast. If you are a follower of this podcast, then you've heard me say multiple times, I looked around at a certain place that I was employed, and I saw the medical staff just be so horrible to other people for so many different reasons. If they were gay, if they were trans, if they were black, if they were Muslim, if they were a feeble woman, if they were a violent man, there was so much judgment. There was so much gossip about these individuals they didn't know. They didn't know the life stories. There were so often that people come in, said before, with brain bleeds from doing cocaine. So much judgment, so much hatred. So I wanted to put a podcast out there because majority of places I've ever worked, the people are loving. The nurses, the physicians, the patient care techs, the certified nursing assistants. Typically, they don't care who you are. They just want you to be better. They want you to feel better, and they want you to be rehabilitated as close to your baseline as possible. And that's where we get first do no harm, because those goals should not change once you leave the walls of a hospital. And it's an easy thing to do to not make waves. If you're a Christian, then you know Jesus calls us to be peacemakers. But he also calls us to speak out for the oppressed, to fight for justice. He also calls for us to be a voice for those who don't have a voice. Because our lives are so short and so small, we don't realize all the changes that came. And it's not just the changes that happened in the last 10 years. Over time, there's been so much, but it's not because people sat on the sidelines. It's because people looked around and they said, this isn't right. This isn't okay. This harms another person. I'm going to go through a couple things with you just because I'm female, so I think that this is a good point for me. So in 1777, all states passed laws which take away women's right to vote. Okay, 1777. Long, long time ago, right? So Mary Kiles becomes the first woman to receive a patent for method of weaving silk and straw. If we fast forward, because like I said, we look back and we think, of course so much has changed then. So in 1920, the 19th Amendment to the Constitution is ratified, ensuring the right of women to vote. 1920. So here we are, this election year is a major milestone for women. But not all women. Not black women. Black women didn't get the same right as their neighbors until 1965. If we fast forward a little farther, in 1972, so not that long ago, that wasn't long before I was born, Title IX of the Education Amendments prohibits sex discrimination in all aspects of education programs that receive federal support. What now? In 1972, women had the opportunity and no discrimination when it came to education. Also in 1972, the Supreme Court upholds the right to use birth control by unmarried couples. If we fast forward a little bit more. In 1983, we had our first woman who was sent to space, Sally Kay Ride. In 1986, the U.S. Supreme Court held that a work environment can be declared hostile or abusive because of discrimination based on sex, an important tool in a sexual harassment case. Let's scroll through even closer to the time that we're at now. In 1994, the Violence Against Women Act funds services for victims of rape and domestic violence and allows women to seek civil rights remedies for gender-related crimes. 6 years later, the Supreme Court invalidates those portions of the law permitting victims of rape, domestic violence, etc., to sue their attackers in federal court. So not until 1994, if a woman was raped, could she really do anything about it? That's a huge change. In 2012, the Paycheck Fairness Act, which was meant to fight gender discrimination in the workplace, fails in the Senate on a party line vote. 2 years later, Republicans filibuster the bill twice. In 2013, the ban against women in military combat positions is removed, overturning a 1994 Pentagon decision restricting women from combat roles. So as you see, this is just one example. Women in America. Things drastically changed from women not being able to own property. Women weren't allowed to vote. Women couldn't talk in church. And now we have women ministers. We have women in places of power, in places of respect. And I say all that to point out the fact that I have been struggling because I always want to appear in a place of neutrality. I want to be an individual that other people feel comfortable around. But I've had more and more people talk around me and say things that I don't think it's right. I think that if the general population were to hear them, they would be very ashamed of themselves. And that's just one reason why I don't hide the good that I believe should be done in this world. I don't hide the love that I think that we should offer on a silver platter to those who are human, whatever that may mean, however they are. I still struggle with things, maybe not just on social media, but I do struggle because I'm afraid that someone is going to have a negative reaction towards me. But then I also tend to forget the same message that they receive from me, that other people, they feel supported, they feel loved. It's a tough thing. But then I think we're not supposed to hide that lamp either. We're supposed to put it out for the world to see. I believe that it's okay to tell people how the actions they take and their thought processes and their biases are potentially damning for other people. And I've been called a lot of names. I've been told that I'm just looking for a bandwagon to hop on, but I have the capacity to feel empathy for multiple groups of people at once, people who are hurting. My eyes can see more than one issue in the world. And people also have called me radical occasionally. The radical left, that's something I never considered myself before. I only thought that I was normal, I was ordinary, and I'm very usual. I really thought that equity was something that was important to everyone. I definitely believe that the general population took that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness seriously for all people. And the golden rule, it should be mainstream. So I took a look because I wanted to see what made me so extreme. And I've said multiple times before, I do have a faith-based, but I do have a love for humans too. I believe that LGBTQ people, they deserve rights. I believe that the planet's really important and that we should protect it. There's a lot of scientists out there that they can see these trends happening. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Obama talked, I believe, in December of 2014, telling us in the next 5 to 10 years there was going to be a global virus, one that was likely to be respiratory in nature, and that we needed to have things set in place, structures, committees, so that we wouldn't have the full impact, so that we would be able to fight it once it started. And here we are. Scientists predicted it. God gave them knowledge. He made them very smart people so that we can see this. But they're also saying that our planet's in trouble, not just people. I also believe that everyone deserves health care. I've been thinking of the homeless a lot lately. And what happens when they get COVID? What happens when they get sick? They don't have the funds to be able to receive chemo treatments. They don't have the funds to be able to get a Z-Pak. This is a tough thing, but we're called to take care of the sick and the poor. That's our job. So why is it an extreme thing for us to want to take care of those people who can't do it themselves. Isn't that where we're supposed to step in? I believe that all religions are equally valid. I personally think mine's the best, but I also think my job's the best. But I can love people who don't believe just as I do. I can respect people who believe in a different God than I do. But I also love the opportunity to be able to be a friend so that we can sit down and we can talk. And who knows, maybe planting those seeds, they may think that my God is one that's much better. I believe the world is bigger than America. I think that God said, you know, God so loved the world, not God loved America first. I believe to be pro-life means that you treasure all the lives that inhabit this planet, especially our country, because this is where I am. But obviously, I believe that all lives throughout the world are important. I think that each individual should be able to do what is best for them that doesn't harm others. And I don't believe that we need to use whiteness as a baseline of humanity. If you listen to my mini-series Through the Lens of Black Lives Matter, you're going to see how in America we default to white very often. And that's not necessarily anything that we currently in 2020 have done, but it doesn't mean that we have to accept it and that we can't make changes and be the catalyst for change. I believe that we're all one interdependent community. I believe that people and places are made better by diversity. I believe non-American human beings have just as much value as American ones. I believe that generosity is much greater than greed. I think that compassion is so much better than contempt, and kindness is superior to the hate that we're putting out into the world right now. I believe that there's enough in this world for everyone. I think that there's enough food, enough money, enough room, enough care. I think that it would take a lot of effort. But if you look at the numbers, we can start making steps to change that and to make that a reality. So I'm not really sure how these ideas became radical and how I got stamped with that term, because to me, that's just basic human decency. And that's how I was grew up. That's what I grew up believing. I grew up believing that loving my neighbor as myself meant that I actually worked for their welfare just as much as my own. And I work for my own welfare very hard. I was taught that caring for the least of these in the world was a good measure of my devotion to God. I don't want him to say, go for me. You never cared for me. I thought that inalienable rights of other people were supposed to be a priority as a decent participant in this world. I don't think I'm alone, and I certainly don't think that I'm radical. In fact, I'm pretty sure that most people reside here in this place alongside me. The desire for compassion and diversity and equality and justice, these aren't fringe ideologies or extremist positions. They're really the best way to be human. And I do think that most people want more humanity, not less. And I do think that other people who see the world and have that drive and desire to be a light, to help others in the midst of their fear, their terror, their pain. I believe that our country is exhausting them just like it's exhausting me. I believe that these aspirations seem radical to some people. It's probably an alarm that they've moved so far into the extremes of their fortitude, that they've been so poisoned by the propaganda, that normal now seems very excessive, that the fact that equality actually seems oppressive to them. Let me say that again. I think that people move so far the other way into extreme values that equality, when they look around and see it, that they now feel that they are the ones that are oppressed because some people have been helped up to their level and allowed to sit at their table. And I think that pure goodness to those seem very reckless. Reckless with our money, our time, our efforts. So maybe the problem is these people are so filled with fear for those who are different that these people are so conditioned to be at war with the world, that they are so indoctrinated into a white nationalistic religion of malice, that they've lost sight of what being a human being looks like anymore. I'm really sure that I don't represent the radical left, but the vast, compassionate, humane middle, that's where I am. People who are not threatened by someone else's presence, who do not see another person's gain as their loss, and who doesn't worship a Caucasian American God. So, I guess humanity feels radical to inhumane people. That's the only thing I can come up with. So I'll be here in my extremism. But I really hope that you'll join me. Before I go, I want to leave you with a quote by William Booth that I find so pertinent for this episode. While women weep as they do now, I'll fight. While little children go hungry as they do now, I'll fight. While men go to prison, in and out as they do now, I'll fight. While there's a drunkard left, while there's a poor lost girl upon the streets, while there is remains one dark soul without the light of God, I'll fight. I'll fight to the very end. I hope you all have a beautiful day, a beautiful week. Don't forget to go give this podcast 5 stars on Apple if you can. Share with your friends, and let's get the word out, and let's make the world more humane.